And welcome to Tell Me Your Story on this brand new year, January 3rd, 2009. And it is a great time to be alive. It's going to be a wonderful year. Don't even listen to what you've been hearing on other sources. It is going to be a fantastic year. How do I know that? Well, it's because between you and me, it's the world that you're going to create with new paradigms for a new world through your words, your thoughts, and your deeds. And we're going to be talking about that with our guest all the way from Hawaii, Mirabai Devi. She is an international spiritual teacher. She's a conduit for healing. She's an author, and we have her on the line. And I want to welcome you to our program today. Thank you so much for joining us all the way from Hawaii.
Thank you so much for having me on your show for the second time, Richard. It's a great honor and a privilege.
Well, in this particular program, we're going to be talking about the new world we want to create with our words and our thoughts and our deeds. And we're going to do that as we go through this next hour. And I would like for you to, if you would, for those who are tuning in for the first time hearing you, who have not heard the previous program, give us a very brief introduction before we go to break about who Mirabai Devi is beyond what I've described.
Well, really, my mission is to raise the consciousness of humanity, and by working with individuals and groups through the transmission of the divine light and through healing work, to help the collective consciousness of humanity be raised into the light and to be able to come home or return home to God, to the infinite consciousness, to themselves, and to be in harmony and peace through the power of forgiveness and prayer and healing and self-forgiveness and techniques and tools that we give to people that they can do on a daily basis to be able to raise their own consciousness and contribute to their family, to their community, to humanity, to society. And in a nutshell, we've been doing that, started out in South Africa about 17 years ago, and then have been teaching throughout South Africa, the United States, through Peru and Brazil, South America, Australia, Canada, a little bit of Europe, North and South India over the past 17 years, and have been based in the United States with about, between 4 to 8 centers over the past 11 years.
Well, those are some of the attributes that we bring to the table so that you, the listener, can check it out, look it up, and get information, make a decision, make a choice, change your world. I have to tell you, before we take our first break here, Mirabai, that as we were driving down the hill from where we live here in the Santa Barbara area, we were looking out over the channel, the Santa Barbara Channel and the islands, and the clouds overhead. And when I first saw these giant billowy clouds, I thought, my first thought was they were dream clouds. I'm thinking, okay, that may be appropriate because that's what we're going to do today. We're going to dream a little bit, aren't we? We're going to help people to dream in that regard, create for themselves a better world, or the world that they really would like to have.
Well, we create our own reality, as you know, Richard. And so reminding people that as we begin 2009, what do you want to create through your words, through your thoughts, through your belief systems, and through your actions? And I'm speaking to our listeners here, that as you saw the clouds and as we dream into reality, this life is a dream. It's no different than when we're in dream states. The only difference is that it appears to be more real because we're in a physical third-dimensional reality. But we're dreaming all of this into our existence, as I just mentioned before previously, mm-hmm. through our thoughts, through our words, through our belief systems, and through our actions. So what is it that we would like to create on our brand new clean white canvas for the year 2009 for ourselves, for our friends, for our children, for our families, for our relationships, for our health, for our prosperity, all of it? What would we like to create?
Well, that's a good place to start, and I'll ask our listeners to start imagining that clean canvas, that white slate, if you will, and get ready because we're going to take a short break and we're going to come right back and talk more with Mirabai Devi. You are listening to Tell Me Your Story, New Paradigms for a New World. I'm Richard Dugan. Stay with us. I have to tell you that every time I hear that song and I hear the verses of that song, it brings a tear to my eye. And I'm not exactly sure if it's because we were introduced to this song back in Ireland when we were visiting, or if it's just the words themselves that just, I don't know, they just touch my heart in such a wonderful way. Mirabai Devi is here to do the same with her words. And what I want to do here as we start out, Mirabai, is let's do a little defining of terms. Everybody has the clean slate now. They're visualizing, if you will, or maybe they actually have one, a clean slate, a clean canvas. And now we're going to define this whole aspect of creating a new world with our words, our thoughts, and our deeds. Let's start by talking about what are our thoughts and the power that they have.
Our thoughts are creative energies. They're live entities. They're living beings. If you were clairvoyant and you could see them, you would actually see a dynamic life force energy like a spirit in each thought. Each thought has a creative power. Our world, if you look at anything in our world, it has been manifested through thought, whether it's the thought of the infinite, the creator, or whether it's the thought of a deva or a nature spirit that has created a tree or a plant or a flower, whether it's the thought form of a human being that has designed a house or a piece of furniture or a particular plan for a building, for example, a yoga studio, that thought has been carefully drawn out, thought out, put together, and then built and constructed and brought into physical third-dimensional manifestation, as we know it as matter. So everything in this world is a thought. Now, if we have positive thoughts, we create positive realities. If we do positive actions, we draw positive actions back towards ourselves. If we speak positive words into being, we draw positive realities back to ourselves because we are a mirror. And we are a magnet. So coming from within us is the key word, is this infinite power, this divine power. As we are connected to the source of light, the creator being within us, the divine self, so we project out a thought, and like a boomerang, it brings back to us into manifestation what we sent out. Now, on the higher dimensions of reality, thoughts manifest awfully quickly. The minute we think it, it comes into form. If you are in a higher dimension and you think, I want to be wearing a blue dress, boom, within a second, you look down and you're wearing a blue dress. If you're thinking, I want to visit my grandma, boom, instantaneously there's your grandma. Or I want to eat macaroni and cheese. Boom, instantaneously, there's a plate of macaroni and cheese in front of you. You don't have to, on the higher dimensions, you don't have to go out and actually make the macaroni and cheese or go and shop and buy the blue dress or go out and shop and buy the car. It's instantaneous. Your thoughts draw or attract it to you instantly because of the higher vibrational frequencies of energy. Down here on the earth plane, on the third dimension, things manifest very, very slowly. And we have to be immensely patient. because of creating in slow motion, we actually have a positive and a negative aspect to this. The positive aspect is that if we have negative thoughts towards other people or towards the world or towards certain countries or situations, it takes a very, very, very long time before those negative thoughts manifest. And we can change our mind and think positive thoughts and put a different order into the universe. And by the time that it manifests, we'll hopefully have changed our negative into a positive and create a more positive desire or more positive manifestation. However, that's the positive aspect. The negative aspect is that we have to be very patient if we're putting out thoughts towards creating a new relationship or a new home or improving our health or a better car or whatever, a better job. Then we have to be patient because as we think those thoughts and as we visualize those things that we want to create and that we want to have, and as we draw them towards ourselves and put our energy towards them and our desire towards them, it takes time, but it slowly manifests. Now, it's said that the closer that you are to being aligned with the light, another word for that is enlightenment, but I like to say aligned with the light, connected to the light, the source of light, the source of power, the infinite self, the faster your desires, your dreams, your thoughts, your words, your actions bring manifestation back to you. If you're in a denser state of consciousness, a more negative state of consciousness, the more blocked you are, the slower you manifest things in actuality. The more cleansed you are by the light and the higher you vibrate, the quicker things will come to you, the quicker they'll manifest to you. Same thing if you're in a holy place, like if you go to a very sacred or holy church or a sacred or a holy temple, or you're, for example, this island of Kauai, if you're in a sacred place on earth or in a sacred site, the vibrational frequency is much higher. The veil between the worlds is lifted and your thoughts and your desires manifest very quickly. So in actuality, that expression, you know, you better watch out for what you desire or what you ask for. You better be conscious and aware of what it is that you're asking for, because you just might have it, you might just manifest it,
mm-hmm.
basically is a true statement, because if you're not conscious of what it is that you're asking for, but you're asking for it and it's not what you want, that's what you're going to get.
Well, you touched upon something that we want to kind of move into the next level here when we talked about words, thoughts, words, and actions, but you actually threw in belief systems, which leads me to, for example, you said that if you go to a sacred place and you have these vibrations, if you will, this wonderful vibration, what if the person, and this leads into this issue, the fourth element of beliefs, what if a person doesn't believe that it's a sacred place? I mean, they go there and it's like, okay, this is a nice place, but it's just not sacred to me. Is that really relevant in that regard?
I would say yes. I'd say that, for example, you can take a master or a saint or a holy person. When somebody has realized God or become one with God, become one with that infinite source, power of God, this, they can speak just a sentence to you. Their words can instantaneously heal your physical body or manifest your desire. You may not believe in them. You may think that it's total garbage. You may not want anything to do with them. And you may not even want to expose yourself to this person, but you happen to come across them on your path. Their power will still work despite your belief and despite your faith. However, on the other hand, people who believe and have faith in somebody who could be a false master and a false teacher, just by their belief and their faith, even if that person was a false teacher, they would still have their desire manifested just because of their faith and their belief. So both ways around, it can work. Isn't that interesting?
Isn't it? Because it's basically dependent upon that individual's belief and or faith.
Right. Exactly.
So go ahead.
In the way, if you went into a sacred site, the power of that place would work on the ignorant mind, even if you didn't believe it, because of the power of that place, or the power of the master, or the power of somebody who's connected to that power or force of the light. And the same thing, as I just mentioned, with somebody who has faith and believes in a false teacher. Their mm-hmm. faith and belief would manifest the same result.
How about someone who is of the belief that the whole of the earth is a sacred place, and all beings, all peoples are sacred beings, if you will, and they don't necessarily put one person above another in the context of a master or that type of thing, that they believe that we're all masters and teachers to one another, as we're all students of one another, if you will.
You see, the truth is that That's a very valid point, and that's a good nutshell. And can I elaborate on that?
Absolutely, please.
When one is in an awakened state of consciousness, then one realizes the divinity that is equal in all life, not only all human beings, but all human beings, all animals, all plants, all minerals, all of life and all of creation. One recognizes the divine being, the divine self, the divine creator inside of everything equally and the same, and one doesn't need an outside source of teacher or guide from the outside to guide one, because one is in direct communication with the one being that is in all life. You understand?
Mm-hmm.
And this is something that I'm just sharing with our listeners, because some of our listeners know this and some don't, and I know that you already know this, Richard. And that is when somebody is evolving to that level, they need an outside teacher or guide, and that outside teacher or guide can be anything. It's called the Upaguru in Sanskrit. It could be the song on the radio. It could be what the people are saying at the table next to you in the restaurant tonight when you walk in and they answer the exact question that you have. It could be a book that you open in a bookstore that has a sentence in it that exactly answers the question that you've been, and gives you the confirmation that you've been looking for. It could be your own child. It could be your own animal. The teacher can come in any form whatsoever, because life is the guide. Life is the guide. And so when you are at the most evolved level of consciousness, as I mentioned initially to start with, you don't need an outside teacher or guide, because you're in communication with the spirit of life and with the knowledge and the wisdom direct. But until then, the teacher and the guide will come in any form. Mm-hmm. And often, just like if you're a beginner on the path and you're starting out and you need the guidance and the support, sometimes we do need a specific person just to help us out and explain things to us and show us our mistakes and teach us how to clean up our act. And that's helpful at certain stages on the path, but there comes a point where we do become perfected and we are able to realize that direct connection, and then we no longer need it.
If you're intrigued by what you're hearing and who you're hearing it from, her name is Mirabai Devi. I'm Richard Dugan. This is Tell Me Your Story, New Paradigms for a New World, as we are embarking on a brand new year, an incredible opportunity to make things happen in our lives that maybe we literally have only dreamed about, and for many have never dreamed about. And it's about time we started doing that. I, as you were sharing about the negative aspects of thoughts, Mirabai, earlier, I'm thinking the thought ran through my mind that whoever it is, or whatever group of people it is that are dreaming about this whole mess that's going on in the Middle East right now, stop it. Just stop it right now. We've had enough. We've had enough over the generations of that kind of stuff, and we need to move on to bigger and better and higher things to promote the wonderful opportunities that we have as human beings to create and not to destroy things. And that's what we're here. And granted, we have talked on this program about the cycle of life, of how, you know, we come into this world and we live and then we move on to the next world. And there is that process of construction. And I believe it's called not destruction. I'm trying to remember the phrase. I can't recall the actual word, but it uses the word construction in it. Deconstruction. That's the word. And so that's just the normal cycle of things. But we don't need to go out of our way to help the process. What we want to do is bring things to fruition in our lifetime for the things that we are here to do. Our purpose in life, getting on purpose, if you will. Let's talk a little bit now about, because we've covered thoughts and we've covered beliefs, then we move into another realm. And now we're going to put sound into action, words. I want to do this. I want to have that. I want to be this. I want to go there or here or wherever it might be. And I've uttered our dreams on the air numerous times to our listeners about the things that we'd like to have happen. So talk to us about the words that we use and the power therein.
Okay. First of all, I want to comment on what you were commenting on before that, because I feel that was an important point not to just skip over. I just want to mention that we create through our positive consciousness. When we put our attention on what you call deconstruction, events in the world that appear destructive, we understand that positive and negative, constructive and deconstructive both exist within us. And when we have self-hatred within ourselves and destruction towards ourselves, then we put that out onto others and onto the world and onto situations. And the truth is that we can't escape on the spiritual path. We can't escape from healing ourselves. And healing ourselves means cleansing the negatives and becoming all positive. All of our thoughts, all of our words, and all of our actions becoming positive, primarily, firstly, towards ourself, and then towards everybody around us and all of our relations, and particularly our most intimate relationships, and then moving outwards from that, and then into how we visualize and hold things in the world, like situation in the Middle East, war in Iraq, new presidency, all of these things. You know, we want to put positives only onto. And that way we actually help to support the world, and we help to create on a collective level what we want to see created in the world. And we don't change someone or a situation by criticizing and judging and negating it. We can only change any situation through loving it and through being positive towards it. And when we love and we're positive towards a situation, then automatically we bring out the positivity and we attract the positivity in the situation or in the person. We help that person to become who they really are rather than just their potentiality, because we see that in them or in that situation. So coming back to your point of I want and how words are so powerful and create, and the power of sound and the power of light creating through sound into manifestation, the words I want or I am literally are saying who you are and what you want to create into this world. So if you go to a restaurant, just let's say that the universe was a cosmic restaurant, and if you go into a restaurant and you say, I want spaghetti, but you actually mean I want lasagna, and when the meal arrives at the table and it's spaghetti, and you say, but I actually wanted lasagna. Well, no, you got spaghetti because you ordered spaghetti and you used the words I want. So when we use the words I want or I am, we have to be very, very careful, because we're literally asking for, coming into manifestation, the creation of that which we want, that which we want to have brought into our reality. So if you say, I want more abundance, I want a better relationship, I want to see peace in the world, I want to have better health, I am having better health, I am having a better relationship, I am experiencing total abundance coming my way. These thoughts, I mean, this is basic metaphysics. These thoughts bring into creation and bring into the stream of creation our real desires of what we want and of who we are. And you can try that right now. You can try that as homework. You can actually go into a friend of mine called Brooks, has this wonderful exercise that I'd like to share where he says, just say the words, who I am, who I am, and then sit and allow who you are to unfold. And just feel it unfolding. When you say the words, who I am, you automatically unfold, and you automatically come into alignment with your spiritual nature, with your expanded self, with the parts of you that are infinite. But if you're going into a narrow perspective, saying, I am, you know, or this person is a cancer patient, or that person is, you know, and we limit people that way. I am this pain. I am this lack. I am this problem. And that's how we limit ourselves, and then we get stuck into that limitation, and we create this narrow, limited, negative image of ourselves, and we don't want to do that anymore. We want to change that reality. In 2009, as we're painting the canvas of our new year, and we're dreaming into possibility, into this movie, this dream of life that we are creating as we're co-creating with the divine within ourselves and within all life, what do we want to create for ourselves? What is it that we want? Let's get really, really clear about what it is that we want.
And we also have, yes, and we also have to be careful about stating what it is that we don't want. It kind of leads into, I'm sure you're quite familiar with the current trend with the law of attraction and speaking the things that you want and don't want, and being careful about how you phrase those things, because what it's kind of an interesting irony. If you tell the universe what it is that you don't want, ironically, usually you end up getting that anyway. Because it's like you have to be very, very clear in your thoughts, your beliefs, and your words in terms of, who you are and what you want to be and where you want to be and so forth. Would that be a fair assessment?
Yeah, that would be correct. And I'd like to add on to that, an addendum onto that, and say that when we come into third-dimensional reality, into slow-motion creativity, where everything is slowed down to the level where we think it, we desire it, it comes into manifestation slowly, and then we experience it, then what happens is usually most of humanity focuses on what they don't want. Most of humanity, really, I'm serious about that, focuses on what they don't want. They go all day long saying, I don't like this job, I don't like this relationship, I don't like this school, I don't like my grades, I don't like my family, I don't like my this, I don't like my health like this. Most of humanity focuses on that, and then guess what?
Mm-hmm.
They create more of it. They create more of that. They create more of that negative reality that they're focusing on.
Absolutely. As a matter of fact, the thought has occurred to me with the number of people who have lost their jobs in the previous year, from a metaphysical standpoint, my question to them would be, did you really like the job you had? And now you don't have it anymore, so now you can go do what you really want to do. And I've even heard stories of people who are now jumping in and doing the thing that they really wanted to do in the first place.
That's right, exactly. That's a positive spin on a time where a lot of people are getting retrenched. And a lot of companies are letting go of a lot of employees. So that is a positive. It's a positive spin. Everything can be turned into a positive.
Mm-hmm.
Thing is a teaching and a lesson, and can be used for the positive and not be regretted, but seen as a very powerful lesson.
Yeah.
So if we start to move from what we don't want into focusing and manifesting what it is that we do want, then we're focusing on what it is that we want to create now. In a third-dimensional reality, to get back to the point that I started with, we learn through experiencing contrast between light and shadow, good and bad, you know, darkness and light, positive and negative. So we learn a lot through experiencing what we don't want, we discover what we want. For example, we play out the victim role. Oh, I'm a victim. And we play out a victim of circumstance, a victim of life, a victim of our parents, a victim of, you know, whatever. It could be anything. It could be rape. It could be molestation. It could be suicide. It could be death in the family. It could be losing a loved one. It could be so many different things, car accident, all the way down to any form of accident, anything. So we play that out, and we experience that disempowered state until we have an awakening and we realize that we are not wanting that reality to continue the way that it has been going. So we decide to put a stop to it and move into now creating what it is we want. That's when we move into an empowered state. We're moving out of being the victim and into being empowered and whole. So when we're empowered and whole, we focus on creating a positive reality of that which we want to create. So that's the beauty of learning through what we don't want. We recognize the opposite. I don't want this. I don't want to be a victim. I don't want to suffer. I don't want to experience a life that has no joy. I want to be happy. I want to be free. I want to be peaceful. I want to not suffer. I want to experience joy. We don't have to, unless we choose to, suffer. We don't have to unless we choose to suffer. And that's a reality, and that comes from our own empowerment. The outer reality may not change, but our inner state changes. And when our inner state changes, that automatically changes our attitude and our relationship to the outer reality. If you visualize a circle, an outer circle, and an inner circle, the inner circle is our inner state, our inner attitude, our inner beliefs, our inner wants, our inner desires, our inner thoughts. And the outer circle is the circle of life, our karma, what comes back to us through our thoughts, our words, and our actions, all the way back from the first beginning of time, all through our lives, the lives of our families, and our lineage. And that karma of thought, word, and action is coming back to us. But on the inside, our inner state and our inner attitude can be converted, can be changed. And when that is converted and changed, any way you look on the outer circle, our experience of reality on the outside circle is completely different because our lens and our filter on reality has changed. Isn't that beautiful?
It is indeed. And that's something to keep in mind, that every time a facet of your life changes, whether it be your thoughts, your beliefs, or your words, your world is going to change. And we're going to get into the fourth element, and that is the deeds. And we're going to talk about those elements. Just a reminder, you're listening to Tell Me Your Story. I'm Richard Dugan. My guest is Mirabai Devi, and you can go to mirabaidevi.org. That's M-I-R-A-B, as in boy, A-I, D-E, V as in Victor, mirabaidevi.org. You can also go to richarddugan.com and go to the shows page, and you can click on the link. Mirabai Devi's name will take you straight to mirabaidevi.org, and you can read about her and the things that she has to offer, the materials. You've also written a book, Samadhi, is that correct?
Yes, I have a book called Samadhi, and that book is called Samadhi, The Essence of the Divine.
How did that book come about for you?
The book is literally the experiences I had of awakened states or higher states of consciousness where I was in what I talked about earlier, when you're in direct communication with the divine and you have the experience of your individual self dissolving into the cosmic self, where you become one with the spirit of life, and you're in that experience or state, you experience what we call altered states of bliss or altered states of ecstasy, where your knowledge of life is that everything is this profound love, this overwhelming profound love. My heart was bursting open as if the dam walls, I say dam walls like the walls of a man-made dam, like a lake, but man-made. And the walls just burst out of your heart, and suddenly you're filled with this infinite love that is the reality of all life. And in that state of infinite love, you perceive everything completely differently. There's a complete different lens or filter onto all aspects of life. And when you're in that state of consciousness, you're in a state of true wisdom because you're connected to universal knowledge and cosmic intelligence. And so in those states, which I was able to access naturally, which were triggered because of attaining those states in a previous birth, they spontaneously got reactivated again in this lifetime through various experiences that I had that I describe in the book, and really anything can trigger them. And once they're triggered and reactivated, I wrote directly in the state from those experiences wisdom.
If we leave here today, we could be 1,000 miles away. Take to that road, see how far it goes, and on that great ocean road, all the countries in our bones, all the trouble. You know, empties out as you go. Walk with me, talk with me, tell me your stories. I'll do my very best to understand you, your flesh and blood.
And this is Tell Me Your Story. I'm Richard Dugan here with Mirabai Devi, and we are talking about that wonderful canvas that you started out with at the beginning of the program, and it's not finished yet, even when this program comes to an end. You have a lot of work to do if you choose to do it, and we encourage you to do so. I certainly plan to do it myself and continue to create some wonderful things for this year and in years to come, for that matter. And we want to thank you so much. Though we still have time left, I want to thank you for joining us here on the program today, and look forward to having you back in the future. And we very well may get in touch with your friend Brooks to talk about this whole aspect of this mantra, if you will, of who is it? It's who I am.
Correct.
Okay.
That's it.
And we'll get in touch with Brooks and see about having them on the program in the near future. But I wanted to have you discuss a little bit. I mean, you live in a really wonderful place, Hawaii. I mean, I'm sure many people have been there. I haven't been there yet, but maybe one day. And you told us before we started that it was raining, and it was warm, a nice warm rain, almost like a spring shower of sorts.
Yes, a tropical shower.
Tropical shower. Go out there and just, you know, lather up. It'd be wonderful to do that. But that must be a magical, I mean, you obviously it's a magical place, a sacred place for you. That's why you're there.
You know, Richard, that's a really beautiful point. Thank you for bringing it up. I just want to share that 3 years ago, I came to this island of Kauai, and my best friends live out here, and they came out to visit them. And ever since then, I came out here every 3 months as a place where I'd come between my tours to rest and retreat. And I started to hold the focus and hold the desire for 3 years all along that I was going to live in Kauai. And I actually, everywhere around me, I surrounded myself with any passcodes I needed for computers and various things with I want to live in Kauai. And I focused and desired on that goal of living in Kauai. And 3 years later, here I am. I just moved here 2 weeks ago. So I just experienced that when you focus on I want to, and you put your order into the universe, and you keep focusing and desiring, it always manifests.
You know, there are some people who are listening, because I can hear the mind chatter, who are saying to themselves, yeah, and you people aren't living in the real world, because look around you, look in the paper, look on TV, in the news, on the radio. Matter of fact, coming up in about 5 minutes, you'll hear all of this stuff, and you guys are just not living in the real world. What kind of a response would you give to somebody like who would have that kind of a perspective?
What people call the real world is where our collective consciousness, the collective consciousness of humanity, is stuck in struggle, is stuck in war, is stuck in lack, is stuck in fighting, and is stuck in creating through suffering and negativity. And what I'd say to that is the world, yes, that is the reality of our planet Earth, and that has always been the reality of our planet Earth. And there have always been those that have come here that have walked in the light and that have been positive examples for people to change. And that people who live in the real world have a choice. They don't have to suffer. They can choose to be to go along with the suffering and be a part of it, or they can choose to be in the midst of it and not suffer and choose to create a different dream and a different reality, because this earth is a heaven realm and a hell realm. It's a place where people can walk in light and in love and in hope and in goodness, and they can walk in fear and they can walk in negativity. And there's a lot of walking in fear and a lot of walking in negativity. And we can choose to bless it, to love it, to transform it, to pray for it, to forgive it, and to work with the transformation of it. Or we can choose to hate it and resist it and suffer along with it. And everyone out there has that choice.
You know,
just because the reality is the way it is, it doesn't make us a victim of it unless we choose to be so. That's empowerment.
And, you know, the other element of it, too, is what have you got to lose by giving this a shot? Think of that clean slate, that bright canvas, and those bright colors, and why not go ahead and paint a world that's different than what you're living in now? I mean, quite literally, what do you have to lose? Because you're already living in your own hell on earth, right? So if you went ahead and started playing with the colors and maybe even some textures and who knows what else, who knows what you'll create? Who knows where you'll wind up at the other end?
I'll tell you what they have to fear. I mean, sorry, I'll tell you what they have to lose. I gave it away. I'll tell you what they have to lose, and what they have to lose is fear.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. I mean, and haven't we had enough? I mean, I think about that in terms of my own life, and I had enough of the heat. I said, I don't want to live in Phoenix, Arizona anymore. It was sad to leave my parents and my family. I still can communicate with them, but I needed to get to the ocean. I needed to get to cooler climate. I wanted to get to a place that was much more comfortable for me. And guess what, folks? Here I am, here on the Central Coast, living in Santa Barbara, up in the hills above, and literally 10 minutes away from the radio station, actually even closer than that, by internet. It's a wonderful thing to be able to do those kinds of things. And if you don't think it can happen, then I'll tell you what, Mirabai, maybe they should just start small. We just have about 30 or 40 seconds here, but just start small, maybe a little thing to start with.
Well, let me just say that if they don't think it's going to happen, then it won't. But if you think it's going to happen and just try with the smallest thing in your day, just think it's going to happen, believe it's going to happen, expect a miracle, be positive, and look for, in slow motion creativity, to expect a positive outcome. It will happen.
Absolutely. Well, Mirabai, once again, thank you so much for joining us on the program. It's been a pleasure having you here on this very first Saturday in January 2009. And I'm certainly hoping that many of the people that have been listening and who will listen to the program following this broadcast, as it's archived up on the website, will change 2009 for themselves and for the rest of us. Who knows where we'll be this time next year. Again, thank you for joining us.
Thank you for having me on the show, Richard. I really enjoyed it.
And I'm Richard Dugan, and I thank you for joining us here on the program. Join us every Saturday afternoon from 3 to 4 p.m. Pacific Standard Time. You can also hear the programs on the internet at richarddugan.com. Email me, richard@richarddugan.com, and check out our blog as well. It's also a link there. Love to all. Have a great Saturday.